Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. Okay. All right. Everybody's awake. We're like really laid back this morning because there's no youth, which means we don't have to rush out of here at the end. So I'm just like, hey, take your time talking. It's okay. It's okay. A lot of new faces this morning. Some new, and some new to Homefront, which is awesome. Welcome. Make sure you get your mug, but don't put it in your dishwasher. That's the, unless you want to have a mug that says something like Home Launt,
or
Omfro. That was one of my personal favorites. Yeah, don't put them in the dishwasher, unless you want to get something interesting. So, we are continuing on in our, let me see if we get my slides here, there we go, in our series on the annual inspection, the annual maintenance check. And again, so I know we have a lot of new people here. Basically, what we started doing at the beginning of the year is we're kind of using the metaphor of an airplane inspection. This was an idea that sort of came to me after riding in an airplane with my son. It was an airplane that was built in the 1960s. And I was asking him, why am I putting my life in the hands of this 1960s aircraft? I wouldn't necessarily get in a car that old if it was going to go up in the air. So he reassured me that the aircraft actually, most of the working parts of the aircraft are not actually from 1968 because they've been redone so many times and the maintenance schedule and all that kind of thing. And so that thought came to me. So it's a lot like our marriages. Our marriages, if we want our marriages to last for the long haul and to continue to be effective and fruitful for the kingdom, then we need to also sort of be attentive to it and constantly doing these maintenance checks. So anyway, that's just a little overview of that. I want you guys to listen to something our next as we get into this next part of this. Just give this a listen for a second here. Everybody get that? Do you get it? How many of you guys have ever been in a small aircraft with a pilot and been able to put the headsets on and listen to that chatter going on between air traffic control? A few of you, right? Oh, a bunch of you. Okay. I listen to that, and although it's sort of, I can pick out some things that sound like English, right? I have no idea what they're trying to say. Absolutely no idea. However, my pilot son not only understands what they're saying, but he knows how to respond to them in a way that's going to guarantee that that he is understood as well, and that the information that he needs to get across to them is gotten across to them, and all those kinds of things need to happen. And I asked him early on, like, how in the world, like, how do you know what they're saying? How do you understand any of that? And besides just the static and they're like, oh, what was that? And then there's all the codes and the numbers and I have no idea. The thing is that there are forms, there's codes, there's principles that need to be followed in order for that to work out. The pilot or the air traffic controller can't just say, hey, my style of communication is like this, so I'm just going to do it my way. Right? It would be a recipe for disaster because they wouldn't be able to understand one another. And when I listen to that, it makes me, how many of you guys have ever listened or had a conversation with your spouse and you came away going, huh? Right? They're speaking and it seems to be English, but you can't really attach meaning or you're not understanding what they're trying to get across to you. Or you're communicating, right? You're delivering some information and for whatever reason, it's not being helpful. They're seeming to miss the, they can't miss the point, or they can't get the point, rather. They're missing the point. Anybody ever experienced that one? Yes. No, nobody, right? Are any of you married? And the thing is that marriage communication also has a code. It also has, you know, principles and forms that if we follow them, it can help us to minimize, you know, mid-air collisions in marriage. It can help us minimize resentment, help us minimize misunderstandings, hurt feelings, and all of those kinds of things. So what's the code? Right. Now, those of you that are either pilots or, you know, have got background in military, you know, law enforcement, right? You guys understand this principle, right? There, when you speak on the radio, there's a way to talk. You don't just make it up as you go along. There's certain, you know, forms that you use and ways that you speak in order to get across the information you want to get across, in order to receive the information, confirm that you understood what was spoken. In marriage is the same way. So where do we go for our code? Our code is a little less cut and dried, a little less black and white, so to speak. But there is a code for how we should talk to each other, and where do you suppose we find it, right? In our owner's manual, like in the back seat of the aircraft, and you go in there, you can pull that out, and you've got the owner's manual. Well, we have one too, right? Ta-da! Right? I feel like I'm back in Sunday school. Where's our owner's manual, children? God's Word is where we're going to find these codes, these principles, these forms, these ways of communicating to each other that are going to be effective. So what I want to do is go through some of those this morning, some of the principles, and then, as you probably would have guessed, at the end, I'm just going to kick it back to you guys for your tables so that you can, number one, you can dive deeper on some of these things together, but also come up with other ones, because I'm sure I'm missing something, almost certainly missing something. So as we do this, as we unpack each of these, what I want you guys to do for me is two things. Number one, keep in mind what's the objective? What's our goal in communicating? Our goal in communicating isn't just to get, you know, to hear ourselves speak. Our goal in communicating with our spouse is number one, that we understand what's being spoken to us, that they understand what we're speaking to them, and then whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish, that we actually move that forward. So it's an important thing to keep in mind, because, again, we can't just say, well, darn it, this is the way that I communicate. Well, if that's the way you communicate and it isn't working, well, then who cares that's the way that you you need to adjust. You need to make some changes if that's the case. So think about what is success, first of all. The other thing I want you to do as we go through each of these, you're going to hear, you know, me talk about a principle, and you're going to immediately think of an example in your marriage where either you did this or you didn't do it. And so I want you to just, you know, jot those down, because when you get to table time, you're going to get to share those with the people at your table. And the real power of this and the real, you know, strength of Homefront is this table time, because the collective wisdom in this room far dwarfs anything that's coming from me. And you guys are going to have insights out of God's Word that I may have, you know, not had. So keep that in mind, those two things, right? What is the goal? And, you know, how have each of these things played out in my marriage? So let's go to the first one here, right? Proper delivery. So there is a way that air traffic control addresses pilots and a way that pilots address air traffic control, right? And it works, and so they stick with it. And Scripture gives us a way to address one another. And a lot of those ways you can find in Proverbs, but this is a big one, proper delivery, right? Proverbs 15:4, gentle tongue is a tree of life. So ask yourself, do you have a sharp tongue? You know, do you have tones? And you know what I'm talking about, right? There's the sarcastic tone. There's the nagging tone. Have you ever heard that one? There's the, am I seriously having to say this again tone? Right? Or the, have you not done that thing that I asked you to do 20 times tone? Okay. So there's tones. We all have them. Mine is this, my specialty is the sarcastic tone. Is it not, Mrs. Myers? Yes. It's my personal specialty. And, you know, any of you that grew up in a home that was mostly women, and I've shared this with you guys before, I grew up in a house with two sisters, no brothers. And so you're not allowed to punch your sisters as you would a brother. So you have to develop the art of the verbal takedown, because that's the only weapon you've got. And so I've been able to develop some of those skills, you know, pretty well, unfortunately, and brought them into marriage. So I'm sorry, sweetie. It's my sister's fault. blame shifting. That's one of my other specialties. So what do we do? What do we do for this? We need to develop some mindfulness, right, about our communication. You know how when they, you know, when you're watching those like TV shows where they're gonna have a person they're trying to hide their identity, and so they're speaking through one of those voice filters, and they're going, and they, well, it's like we need to pass our what we're gonna say through a voice filter, a biblical voice filter, and we need to say, okay, is it gonna reach the person that I'm that I love, that I'm professing to love more than anyone else in the world? Is it gonna reach them in a way that is edifying, that's kind, that's gentle? Is it grace-filled in its content? Is it arranged in a way that's not going to injure them or cause them to put up their defensive walls, right? Because as soon as defensive walls go up, then communication now is not working anymore. So how am I formatting? What's the content? And then how am I formatting in a way that's going to actually be received by this person that I profess to love so much? And is it free from tones, right, that could make it offensive? And sometimes those tones we don't even realize that we're doing. They're just sort of second nature. They come out. You know, Scripture says, let no corrupt speech come from your mouth, but only that which is useful to building up. So thinking about that before you let loose with whatever it is that you're going to say, and actually having some mindfulness about how you're communicating, not just sort of communicating willy-nilly with this person that you love. Because when a pilot formats his what he wants to say to air traffic control, and he does it properly, he's much more likely to get back the information that he's seeking. And that goes back to that whole success thing. Right? And the same holds true. Same holds true for marriage. So make it clear, and make it gentle. A couple of the things there. So developing our proper delivery. The second part of that is, and how do you respond? Right? Again, a couple of verses earlier in Proverbs. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And this one is really tough, especially if you've just had a verbal, you know, shot fired at you. It's really hard to not respond in kind, is it not? Right? Because our defenses come up and we want to respond out of that defensiveness. So this is one that requires a lot of prayer and a lot of training, a lot of practice to be able to not react to those things. Right? And there's all kinds of teaching tools and tips out there. You know, things like avoiding you statements, like, you know, you made me feel such a way, or this and that. Avoiding words like always or never, you know, these are kind of easily available tips and tools. And I'm going to actually, when I send out the Homefront email this week, I'll put some of those in there. There's some resources in there that I think will be helpful. You know, when you don't understand what's being said to you, like if you listen to a pilot and air traffic control says something and the pilot doesn't understand what they said, they ask a clarifying question. They go back and want that. They want that repeated back to them again. So that is something that we need to be able to do. And if we can slow it down, if we can slow down this communication, we have a much better chance of keeping the temperature down and actually understanding and being understood. So we need to prepare our responses well. So that's the first two, really, is thinking about our delivery and thinking about our response. And the third one here is related to the two, particularly the second one. Listen carefully and think before you speak. Listen carefully and think before you speak, right? We need to be active listeners. We need to ask good clarifying questions. That helps to slow things down. It helps us to understand. The air traffic control and the pilot can't talk over one another. One needs to wait until the other one is done speaking before he responds. And he needs to listen. He can't start formulating his response prior to the other, you know, person finishing what they're going to say. This whole idea of multitasking is a myth. So any of you that think that you can do that, particularly you ladies, that, you know, the myth has been built up that women can multitask. Listening and formulating responses to what you're listening to that's a myth. It cannot be done. You're missing something that's being said, either in the content or in the heart behind the content. You're missing something as you formulate your answer. Don't do that. Slow to speak. I'm sorry, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You know, paraphrase what you're hearing if you don't understand it. to make sure that you understand. We want to seek to empathize with the person that we're listening to. We want to empathize with our spouse. We want to keep our defenses down. If you have to repeat this verse over and over again in your head, do that. Whatever it takes to keep your heart rate down, to keep yourself from getting worked up. Patricia used to tell me early on that I needed to, because we would have a lot of misunderstandings, that I would need to listen to what she meant, which didn't make any sense to me. And so it makes perfect sense to you, see? But what did that require? It required me taking the time to listen and to pay attention to her and her body language, not just what she was saying, to begin to empathize and to think what could possibly be behind this communication that's coming at me. Asking questions, asking follow-up questions, and basically requesting more information. So, you know, what do you mean by such and such? Why is this important to you? This seems to be something that you're pretty passionate about. Why is that? What happened? You know, I can sense that you're feeling a little, you know, upset with me. What's going on? Are you okay? Did something happen? Did I do something? All of those kinds of things, getting clarifying information, and then thinking before you speak. And I'll just say this first about the first half of this, listening carefully. What I've found in a lot of cases, and I'm sure some of you have also experienced this, that sometimes just the practice of listening resolves whatever the issue was on its own. I'm a verbal processor, so you know, sometimes I'll sit down with Patricia and be like, I got something on my mind, I really want to talk to you, I can't figure this thing out. And she's like, okay. And I'll talk for 15 minutes and we'll come to a conclusion and a solution, and she'll have said like two things, maybe just like ask me some questions. But basically, it's just her listening to me was what I needed at the time. So listen carefully, be quick to listen. There's a tip, again, about the not formulating your response while you're still listening. One of the ways that you can keep from doing that, one of the things that helps with as well, is, again, keeping your emotions in check. If you let your emotions begin to take over, if you feel like whatever was communicated to you is making you feel defensive, you need to be conscious and mindful of that and check that in your spirit. Because if you don't, what's going to happen? Fight or flight. There's a fight or flight. We all know what the fight or flight response is. Well, fight or flight, neither one of those options in marital communication is particularly useful, right? And you guys have probably all experienced, we're all one or the other. We all either fight or we run. So you might have your spouse might be the person that as soon as conflict arises, they withdraw and go to the garage or to the bedroom or whatever. They just don't want to talk. Or it just starts ratcheting up. And if you've got two fighters, that's going to be exciting. So make sure that as you're listening, you're also paying attention to your own reactions to what you're hearing. Just be mindful of it so that you can keep from falling into the fight or flight routine. Won't be helpful. This is sort of a take on the golden rule, right? Speak unto others just as you would like to be spoken to. Matthew 7:12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, this applies first in marriage, has to apply first in marriage. How many of us here, raise of hand, how many of us here loves, just loves, can't wakes up in the morning thinking, man, this is going to be great, to be nagged, right? How about those of us, this is my personal way, how many of you really like to be talked to like your two-year-old? That's your personal favorite, right? How about passive-aggressive caveats at the beginning of every statement? You see, we got all going on right here. The sarcasm, passive aggressive. This is great, right? None of us like that. So why do we do it to each other? So it seems like a simple rule on the surface, and it is kind of simple, right? So okay, so I'm not going to do those things, but there's a deeper level to this too that makes it a little bit more complicated, because we have different communication styles. We have different ways of communicating. And so the way that I like to be communicated with, taking out the really negative obvious things, like I don't like to be nagged, no one does. I don't like, you know, to be talked to or patronized, you know, like I'm two. But then there's the deeper side of things. Like, are you a fact person or are you an emotion person? So if you're one of those fact people and you like someone, when someone's communicating you, you want them to share with you the data. Give me the facts. I want to hear the facts. And then I will respond to you with my facts. And that's how we're going to communicate together. But if you're married to a person whose emotions, and they're communicating to you with emotions, and you're like, I don't know what to do with this, so you're going to respond with your facts, it's not going to be particularly helpful in that situation. So, and if you want to get something across to an emotions person, formulating your conversation with them based solely on facts is also not going to be particularly effective. So we need to know our spouse. This goes back to being a student of our spouse, which I know we've talked about, you know, a lot. If those of you that have done the Symbis report and can go back and look at that, you can see. It'll tell you right there what kind of communication style that that your spouse has. And so we need to adjust to those things. Because remembering our goal, we want to be successful. The point isn't I want to be right in my communication style. It's I want to be successful in communicating with my spouse. And if that requires me to adjust, make adjustments to them, then that's what I'm going to do. We're almost to the end. Practice compassion. This is a big one, and I kind of alluded to a little bit. There is one thing I know we all have experienced, we all know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that when it comes to communication, we're all going to fail at this. We're all going to step on each other's toes because we've all done it. If you've been married longer than 5 minutes, you know what this is like. Grace, however, says that we offer compassion and forgiveness to one another. 1 John 1:9, right, says that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. So the question is, because of that, are we going to be faithful and just to forgive our spouse when they step on our toes, when they formulate their communication to us in a way that's not particularly helpful? Are we going to be able to ask the question, what is behind that? Instead of reacting, instead of raising the temperature and firing another shot back at them or retreating, are we going to be able to engage with grace and try to have some compassion and forgiveness and understand? Because there's always a backstory. There's always a backstory. I mean, if any time that you share something with your spouse that you think is completely innocuous, like, hey, did you remember to X, Y, or Z? And they bite your head off. There's something behind that, because your question was not, unless you, you know, go back and examine, was my tone, where was my tone? Was that a nagging tone? Was it just a question? Because sometimes it's not about your delivery, it's about the person's state of mind that's receiving what you're saying. And so if you get a reaction that you think is not, doesn't make sense with what you just said, there's always a backstory. Ask the question, don't get defensive. And then the last one should be obvious. Pray, 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 pray continually. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray and ask for help in recognizing and working on your weaknesses in communication. We all have them. There's certain things that all of us are not particularly good at in the area of communication. And so asking God, you know, James says, you don't receive because you don't ask. So ask. Go to God and say, you know what, maybe I don't know. Maybe I don't know where my weaknesses are. I think I'm a pretty fantastic communicator, right? But I could tell because of the situation with my spouse that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing some crucial piece of data here. It's to ask God. Pray. Pray for patience and calm, right? Pray for mindfulness. Yeah, the ability to be able to listen and not react, but the ability to think first before you speak, to formulate your delivery and your response as well, requires prayer. This third one, way of talking about prayer, is crucial, I think, to a lot of what we said, particularly about practicing compassion. Pray together. I know that's hard. It's hard for Patricia and I to pray together because she doesn't like to pray out loud, and so we have to find ways to do that together. And the importance of it is this: as you pour out your hearts before God together, you are learning a tremendous amount about what's in your spouse's heart. What are the things that they are looking to God to help them with? What's going on in the background there? This is an opportunity for you to pick up a lot of very useful data about your spouse. So pray together. Develop that compassion, your unity, your understanding of one another through prayer. So that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff, and we've actually, communication-wise, I mean, there's volumes and volumes written on marital communication, so we can't hope to do much more than scratch the surface here this morning, but hopefully it gives you guys a place to start in your inspection. And again, I'll just repeat this. Don't fall into the trap of saying, this is just how I am. This is just how I am. This is just how I communicate. Because when you do that, what are you like? What are you being like? You ever meet that person that encounters a non-English speaker? And the moment they realize that this person does not speak English, they start to talk louder and slower in English. And they think somehow, miraculously, by turning up the volume and slowing down the pace, that this non-English speaker is going to miraculously understand what in the world they're saying. That's what you're doing when you refuse to say, you know what, I'm going to try to communicate. My goal is to communicate effectively, not communicate in a way that's necessarily, you know, pleasing to me. I want to converse in a way that's going to be effective, that's going to be successful. And over time, you begin to develop, you should, if you're working at this and you're prayerfully seeking the Lord about this, over time, you should begin to develop an ear for the way that your spouse communicates. You should be able to begin to pick up on some of the nonverbal communication that's coming across to you with those words. Like I go back to the pilot. Like, you know, my son told me, yeah, in the beginning it was really hard to understand what they were saying. But now, you know, you just develop an ear for it. And so what sounds crazy to us at one moment will begin to make sense to us over time. It takes time, it takes work. But I believe that we can all get fluent in the strange tongue that our spouse speaks. And honestly, the dividends, the joy dividends that pay out from investing in this area of your marriage are tremendous. So I can't encourage you enough to do that, to get under the hood and do this part of the inspection. So I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to have some questions. This is a review really quickly, delivery and response. Speak unto others the way you'd like to be spoken to. Listen and think. Forgive compassionately and pray. Those are our five that we talked about this morning. And again, I'm sure that there are others. If you have them, share them at your table. Those are our discussion questions. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Give this time to the Lord. Father in heaven, thank you so much just for another opportunity to gather together brothers and sisters in the Lord, as husbands and wives, and as your children. And God, we just pray that you would continue to do the work that you began in each of us the day that we trusted in Jesus as our Savior, the work of transforming us, of conforming us into the image of your Son. God, it's particularly today we pray that you would help us in the area of communication. Father, you communicate so clearly to us through your Word. You communicate to us via facts. You communicate with us through our emotions, through our spirit, and through our mind. God, give us the ability to do the same with one another. Father, we want to be successful in our communication. We want our communication as husbands and wives to be honoring to you. God, most of all, we want you to receive the glory through our marriage, through our lives, Lord, as we live them out before you and before a lost world. So we just ask for your blessing now as we go into our time of conversation, that it would be rich, that it would be edifying, and we ask this in Jesus' name.